Nova and I go to many soccer games to watch Max and Vaughn and Luke and Ben play. We root for them to win, of course. Often I hear dads and coaches yell, "Pressure, pressure, pressure." They want their team to push hard against the defending team and kick that goal in to score. In our text for today from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells the story of a widow who is applying pressure, pressure, pressure. Someone is harassing her. Jesus doesn't say who it is or what he or she is harassing the judge about. He makes the point that she does not take this sitting down. This is no meek and mild woman. She goes to court and demands that the judge give her justice against her adversary. The word for justice here really means vengeance. She wants retribution, and she won't give up until she gets it. Jesus contrasts this woman with the judge. He neither fears God nor has respect for people. He is cold and hard-hearted. He ignores the biblical commands and the words of the prophet that call God's people to care and provide for widows and their orphan children. Many widows in biblical times had no rights or property. They were totally dependent on others to provide for them. Others did have rights and property. We don't know which kind of widow this was. Jesus tells us only that she had a grievance against an adversary that she wants the judge to address. The judge has no regard for God's commands or the words of prophets, Jesus says. He will not give her what she wants. But the widow keeps badgering him. She does not make herself a helpless victim. She comes to the judge as an equal. Day after day, she goes and bangs on his door. She pesters this judge, making an absolute nuisance of herself. She demands that he get her adversary off her back. She wants him to set things right for her. She is, according to Jewish New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine, a woman with a fist. Jesus says that the widow finally got through to him. The judge says to himself, "Yeah, I don't fear God or respect people, but I will give this widow justice, or vengeance, because she keeps bothering me." The Greek actually says, "because she is giving me a black eye." Can you think of situations today where women and others are like this widow who cry out for justice against others or society in general? I think of the women in the Me Too movement who cry out for justice against men who have sexually assaulted them. Do you remember the rallies and the marches where they shouted out their demands? They are being heard. Perpetrators are being brought to trial by judges and thrown into prisons, but there is still a long way to go. I think of David Hogg and other survivors of the mass shooting a couple of years ago at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. They have also marched and demanded that the power of the National Rifle Association be overthrown. They have demanded that Congress pass comprehensive gun control legislation. Their demands are not yet being met, but they persist. Now quietly, they are pressuring, pressuring, pressuring. What about you and me? When have we been like this widow? Where have we experienced wrong? What have we done about it? Have we simply caved in saying, "Oh well, that can happen to anybody"? Or have we gotten our hackles up and gone to demand that things be set right? And might there be something of the judge in us? Are there times that we don't want to give in to demands that are made upon us? Do we close up our hearts and turn a blind eye? Let's look at the words before and after this parable. Luke has Jesus saying in verse 1 that this parable is about the need for his disciples to pray continuously and not be discouraged or lose heart. What might they be praying about? Luke wrote his gospel at least 30 years after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. The early church was being persecuted, both by the Jewish community for giving allegiance and following Jesus as the Messiah already come, and also by the Romans for refusing to give allegiance to Caesar and to bow down to him as Son of God. They are praying and crying out for Jesus to give them protection now. And they're praying that he fulfill his promise that he will return to rescue them. They pray as he had taught them to pray, and as we pray every Sunday, that the reign of God will come on earth as it is in heaven. Indeed, Paul commends the church at Thessalonica for their perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials they are enduring. And James says in his letter to the 12 tribes scattered among the nation, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." So the disciples and other followers of Jesus are to be like this widow. They and we are to pray and to keep on praying. We are to let waiting and waiting for God to answer our prayers, testing our faith, to strengthen our faith. We are called to hope as we keep pressuring God to answer us. Sometimes those prayers are answered. But what happens when those prayers are not answered? What happens when the persecutions continue? What happens when we pray that someone be healed and they are not? What happens when we pray that a rough situation at work or school get resolved and it doesn't? What happens when we pray about a family member's troubled marriage and the troubles continue? What happens when it seems like our prayers just bounce off the ceiling and don't reach God? Jesus, Paul, and James say to keep on praying. Keep pressuring and pressuring and pressuring. Sometimes the answer may indeed be yes, and what we pray for comes to pass. Sometimes the answer may be no. God has something else in mind for us. And sometimes the answer may be to just wait. The time is not yet right. But we are called to persevere, to live in hope and trust. Perhaps we are called most not to change God, but to change ourselves and to allow God to change us. We are called to remain faithful no matter what we experience. Who is the central character in this parable? Some of us will say the widow. She is the hero. She stands up to this judge and she won't give up. God bless her for being a radical feminist. But perhaps the judge is the central character. Again, does God at times seem not to hear and answer our prayers, just like the judge in the parable? No doubt that is true for you. It certainly is for me. I have been praying for years about a situation that has not yet been resolved. When we think God does not hear our prayers, we are called to persist in hope that one day we will receive what we cry out for. The judge may be the central character in a reverse way. At least Luke, in his comments after the parable, seems to say so. The judge is the opposite of who God is and what God does. So God becomes the positive central character in the story. God is not like the judge who does not fear God or people. God will provide justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. God will not be slow to help them. He will give them justice quickly. Our reading from Jeremiah fleshes out this picture of God who judges justly. Yes, Jeremiah says, God has judged and condemned his people to exile for breaking the covenant that he made with them at Sinai. God brought judgment upon all Israel and all Judah. But a new day is coming, Jeremiah says, when everyone will die only for their own sins. God will focus on individual responsibility rather than on the whole nation. And Jeremiah promises that God is going to make a new covenant with Israel and Judah. It will not be like the old covenant, which tried to regulate their behavior, a covenant written on stone. The new covenant instead will be engraved upon their hearts. Their inner lives will be transformed, so that they will want to live and walk in God's ways. God loves and cares for God's people. God will not give up on them. God will hear their cries when they pray to him. The disciples of Jesus and all believers have entered into this new covenant, put into effect by the death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Jesus reveals to us in human flesh who God is, a God who loves us, a God who forgives us, a God who cares for us and who hears our cries. Now, as Jesus intercedes for us as our advocate, God is the just judge who hears and will answer our prayers. We are called to persevere, to pressure, trusting that God will answer in God's own time and way. My own commitment to God's love and provision for me was severely tested 30 years ago. I had to resign from my first solo pastorate after going through a lot of conflict in the congregation, which was a horrible experience. I fell into a deep depression. I wanted to recover, so I sought psychiatric help, I received medication, and I also sought spiritual direction. I was in too much pain to seek another job. I cried out to God over and over again for help. The darkness did not go away. One morning, during my devotional and prayer time, it seemed like my own prayers were just hitting the ceiling. Crying out in rage, I cursed God. God, go to hell, I said. I thought I would be struck by lightning, but instead, I felt a sudden sense of warmth surrounding and filling me. To this day, I cannot explain that, but I felt held and loved by God, and I was given hope that indeed a new beginning would come. And in time, indeed it did. I received a visit from the new pastor after he began his pastorate in the congregation that I left, and he wondered how things were going. I said, well, I still felt that there were things about my leaving that were unresolved. So he arranged for me to meet with the elders and our district overseer. We were able to review what had happened and to make confession to one another. And then we planned a Sunday evening service for the elders and I to go and stand before the congregation and share a litany that we had prepared of remembering, of confessing, and letting go. I can't describe the sense of freedom and release I experienced that night. I was able to go and begin a pastorate, a new pastorate, a couple of months later. The depression was gone. God had answered my prayers. I know what it is like to be that persistent, pressuring widow, and I know that God is the just judge who eventually answers prayer. I was forever changed by that experience. I can affirm the words of Paul in his letter to Roman Christians in chapter 8. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Sisters and brothers, keep pressuring and pestering God about the cries of your hearts. God hears. God enfolds you in God's arms. And the God of all justice will answer you in God's way and in God's time. Amen. Please turn to number